Good morning and welcome to our service. Today we're pleased to have Christine McWhirter back with us. Christine will lead our services today and for the next two Sundays. We're very grateful to Christine for offering to support us in this way, and we look forward to sharing worship with her. After the service, we hope many of you will join us on Zoom for the lockdown chat. Contact details for this have been emailed to members and will be on the screen at the end of the service. There's another chance to meet up for a chat on Wednesday evening. The access details for this will be emailed beforehand. Also on Wednesday, please take a couple of minutes if you can at 1 o'clock to pray for the future of our church, asking God particularly to guide our nominating committee in their task of finding a new minister for us. You'll be aware that as the Scottish Government's staged plan for coming out of lockdown unfolds, resuming services in church will become a possibility in the foreseeable future. The Kirk session discussed this at a meeting last week, but decided that we would not reopen our buildings before we've reached phase four of the government plan. In deciding this, we took into account current government and church guidance, as well as a number of practical considerations. This means that the earliest we're likely to start services again would be mid to late August. However, we'll keep you informed as the situation develops.
Good morning to you all, and a welcome to the online worship for St Andrew's Lambride and Urquhart Parish. I am very pleased to be here with you again and sharing in the worship of God with you all. This past week has been very busy for the world in terms of many announcements, updates and changes for the coronavirus restrictions, as many of the restrictions will be eased in the coming weeks. However you have spent this week, and however these upcoming changes will affect you personally, I hope this week you have known and enjoyed the love, peace, mercy and grace of the Lord. As we gather as God's beloved children, however glad we are, however out of sorts we are, we come together as the people whom Jesus calls into community. So this becomes a place where all are welcome. We have come to give thanks, to pray and sing, to be with one another. Let us worship God. Our first hymn is from Mission Praise 769, Who is on the Lord's Side. We'll be singing verses 1 and 3.
On the Lord's side, who will serve the King? Who will be his helpers, other lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for him will go? By thy call of mercy, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side, Saviour, we are thine. Fierce may be the conflict, strong may be the foe, but the King's own army none can overthrow. Round his standard ranging, victory is secure. For his truth unchanging makes the triumph sure. Joyfully enlisting by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side, Saviour, we are thine.
Later on in our service today, we're going to be listening to a story from Scripture about a woman who was very busy. I wonder if you can think about a time in your life, or maybe several different times in your life, when you have been very, very busy. One of the main times that was incredibly busy in my life was a time when I was a bridesmaid. I've actually been a bridesmaid twice. The first time was for my sister's wedding, and I have a lovely bouquet of momentum from that day. But the problem for me was the wedding preparations were so busy for me that it led to problems. Now, those of you who have ever been involved in a wedding, whether that be planning your own or maybe involved in a relative or a family friend or someone you know, you'll have an idea of how much planning goes into a wedding. Now, weddings can be all different shapes and sizes, but generally there's the venue to think about, the clothes, possibly cars, the cake, the meal, the band, the DJ, flowers, invitations, planning the ceremony, what kind of ceremony you're going to have, who's going to be there, who's not going to manage to be there, the photography and perhaps a video. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. The list can go on and on and on. It does depend on what type of wedding you have. Some can be very small and intimate, others it's a very big occasion. And whilst it can be enjoyable planning the day, it can also be very stressful. Sadly, at the time of my sister's wedding, my mum was very unwell with cancer, so there was added worry with that. But it occurred to me a short time after the wedding that I couldn't actually remember a lot of the details of the day. It had been a very tiring and stressful build-up leading to the wedding day itself, but I genuinely realised afterwards I had very few original memories of the day itself. As a bridesmaid, I had a lot of duties that day. There was a lot of running around. I was helping others get ready in the morning. There were flower girls. There was my sister getting her into her dress and finding the shoes and hair and makeup and all sorts. I was also in and out of official and unofficial informal photographs on the day. I was helping everyone in and out of cars, where you had to stand. Lots to remember. There was so much going on, and everything that I was doing, I didn't actually manage to stop and concentrate on the important things, such as the vows, the ceremony, the meal. I was also concentrating on not tripping up halfway down the aisle. So I've only got brief flashes of a few moments of the days. And I'm very glad there was a video taken and photographs, as these help me fill in the blanks. And when I see these photographs or watch the video, the memories I do have are positive. However, I am reminded when I see them and when I take out this bouquet and have a look at it every now and then, I remember and think, where were my priorities that day? Of course, what I had to do, the duties, they were very important and they were needed, but I am reminded that because I was so busy, I don't have all the original memories that I would like to have. So it makes me think and reanalyse where my priorities are for other things. So if you've been to a wedding or something similar, or moved house perhaps, that might be quite stressful, or planning a big occasion, an anniversary or a birthday party, something of that might be relevant to you and might be able to get your thoughts going for where we will be in our scripture story later. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Creator God, you have called us to worship you. We gladly gather. Lord, you have given us voices to sing in praise. We praise you. You have given us the gift of music. We praise you. You have given us the gift of song. We praise you. We thank you for the wonderful variety of gifts and talents you give to us all. We pray for encouragement to know the talents within ourselves and to share willingly with others. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings and skills you have given us. Grant us the wisdom to use these for your work and to share willingly with others. Heavenly Father, you are the one true holy God. You are eternal and all-powerful. All is known to you. May none of your wonderful works be silent and offer you thankful praise. Father, draw our hearts to you and guide our minds. Fill our imaginations and control our wills. Take us and make us wholly yours. Lead us, Lord, to see and take the path of peace. Almighty and most merciful Father, we confess to you now that at times we turn our backs to you. In our arrogance, we can ignore you and instead follow the desires in our own hearts. Lord, through the blood of Christ, forgive us. Help us to face the truth about ourselves, Lord, and to realize the wrongs we do. Forgive our words of anger and hatred. Forgive our pride and lack of humanity. Raise us up, Lord, to forgive one another and to learn to appreciate each other. Teach us, Father, to return to you in humble gratitude and to learn from our mistakes. And now let us join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. Our Bible readings today are from Psalm 16 and Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. Meg Anderson will be reading for us today.
The first reading this morning is from Psalm 16. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, "You are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And from Luke chapter 10, and this took place at the home of Martha and Mary. Verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Amen, and thanks be to God for these readings from his holy word.
For those of us with siblings, how often did you argue or fight with each other as you were growing up? Perhaps you still do from time to time. Siblings often get into arguments with each other. Sometimes it is about something trivial, and sometimes it's extremely important. In our reading today from Luke, what we essentially have is a tale of two sisters and how Jesus dealt with what became a relatively hostile situation in the house. the start of the passage in Luke, we are told Jesus and his disciples had been travelling. In the course of their journey, they entered a village, and a woman named Martha received them into her house. What do we know about Martha? This is the same Martha whose brother, Lazarus, Jesus would raise from the dead, as recorded in John's Gospel. In the Gospels, Martha and her family are mentioned as consistently being friendly with Jesus. Luke also gives us some information about Martha. She opened her home to Jesus and his followers, so she was being very hospitable. Being hospitable, wherever possible, is of course a very good thing. However, those among us who have hosted a group of several people at a time in our homes know that having a reasonably full fridge and or freezer of food is necessary to feed all those mouths. So in order for Martha to host the large group who were travelling with Jesus, she must have had a good store of food, and her house must have been big enough to accommodate them all. No third-party helpers are mentioned in the passage, so it's not unreasonable to think Martha needed to be a relatively responsible person to have such a large supply of food to hand, or she was organised enough to be able to source the food quickly, and she was willing to share it with Jesus and his followers to help in Jesus' ministry. At this point, Martha sets us a good example. Everyone has different talents and abilities, but our abilities are no good to anyone unless we are willing to share them. Not everyone can play a musical instrument. Not everyone can do crafts or art. I can't draw a circle around a penny. Not everyone can make a good pot of coffee. We have all been blessed with different gifts we can share. Martha showed talents in her organisation and resourcefulness. These are good talents and very useful to have, and she was willing to share them with others. Her decision to host Jesus and the disciples meant she would be donating much of her time in the preparations, but she wanted to help, so she was willing to go to all the trouble necessary. So by thinking about what Martha was doing acting as hostess, we can build a reasonably realistic picture about what she was like as a person. Now, Martha had a sister named Mary. As the house Jesus was received into belonged to Martha, it's likely Mary was the younger sister. Mary displayed behaviour of fascination at Jesus' teaching and of wanting to learn as much as she could from him. She sat at Jesus' feet and listened intently to every word he said. There was quite a contrast going on between Martha and Mary. Can you imagine the scene? It's almost like a split screen, like we see in some television programmes or films. On the one hand, we have Mary, who was quiet, collected, peacefully soaking in all of Jesus' teaching. Very calm, no hassle, no tension. On the other hand, we have Martha, who was probably bustling about. Maybe she was banging pots and pans and lids as she tried to prepare the meal. She may have been searching for items, throwing things about. You just imagine all that tension that surrounded her. Martha was distracted with all the preparations. I can imagine inside Martha was probably fuming. She had way too much to do. She likely felt that she was doing her best to serve, but Mary was not. Mary, according to Martha, was not doing what she should have been doing. In fact, it went beyond just what Martha thought. Mary was not just neglecting her culturally expected role at the time to help prepare the house to accommodate the guests. She had moved into the role that, at the time, only the men took. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet and was learning from him, as though she was a disciple at the same level with the men. This crossing of gender lines would have been a small scandal in those times, and it's quite possible that irritated Martha as well. According to Martha, Mary didn't know her place, and she was leaving all the work to Martha to get done. I can really sympathise with Martha here. There have been many times in my life I have been involved in organising something, and I have been left to do all the organisation myself, which wasn't good or helpful and made me feel stressed. I have felt like, and I can imagine Martha either felt like saying, "If I don't do it, clearly no one else will." Martha got angry at Mary and at Jesus because she felt she had been left to do all the work by herself. In her mind, not even Jesus, this preacher of love and mercy, could see how hard she was working and how little Mary was doing. Surely the right thing for Jesus to do was for him to tell Mary to get up and help Martha. So what does Martha do? She came to where Jesus was and possibly interrupted the conversation he was having. Martha didn't get angry directly at her sister Mary in front of Jesus. She actually got angry at Jesus, as in her mind, Jesus didn't care. She was stressed and wanted Mary to go and help her. I would say it's very interesting Martha didn't directly ask Mary to help her. Instead, she commands Jesus. And I can even see her, with all her frustration she was feeling, perhaps shaking a frying pan or pot at Jesus. "Tell her to help me!" So how did Jesus respond to Martha's attempt to take him to task? There are two things of importance here. First, the culture at the time. For this, Jesus' response is surprising, as according to Jesus, Mary had chosen the better path that day, and all Mary had done was to sit quietly at his feet and listen to him. The fact that it is recorded that Jesus would encourage Mary to listen to him as he taught in the house was, in itself, radical. Women were openly despised by the Judaism of the time. Women were exempt from the study of the Torah. Many rabbis actively discouraged women from learning. But Jesus said, "It will not be taken away from her." The "it" being that Mary had chosen to sit quietly, to listen and learn from him. Second, Jesus doesn't condemn Martha for trying to be a good hostess. Rather, he tells her gently, the problem is she has become anxious and troubled over the preparations. Martha's mission should have been, and probably was at first, to facilitate Jesus, to give him a place to teach others, to rest, and to have something to eat. It is very good for us to see Jesus does not condemn Martha for her efforts. He doesn't tell her all her efforts are a waste of time, or the dinner is late, or complain to her. His words are about her worry and stress over the preparation she is prioritising, rather than her prioritising being calm and listening to him and learning from him. While I, in part, regret I was so busy as a bridesmaid that I don't remember a lot of the wedding days, the duties I was doing needed to be done. If someone had taken me to task for not doing my duties, or for doing my duties on that day, my reply to them would not have been polite. The same goes for all of us who work very hard and diligently every week to facilitate the work of the church and serving God in so many different ways. It would be very wrong for someone to seriously take you to task for the hard work you do. However, there are important lessons we can take away from the passage, particularly as this week we have learned even more of the coronavirus restrictions are going to be lifted soon, which will eventually include our church buildings reopening for services of worship. For everyone, getting back to a new normal will be difficult, dangerous, and that includes going into church buildings again. In order for us to get back into church buildings, there are lots of things for us to think about which are important. Proper social distancing, hand washing or hand sanitising, not using hymn books or pew Bibles, lack of singing, entering by one door and leaving by another, cleaning toilets after each use, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. It's a lot to think about for even just one service to happen, to be able to open our church buildings and welcome people in again. There's a lot to do to be open and welcoming. When there's a lot to do or think about, with that comes stress, and our priorities and our focus can shift from where it should be. Does that remind you of anyone in today's passage? Whilst it is very important to organise our church buildings properly so we can welcome people safely back to worship services in them, it is even more important that we don't become like Martha, that we don't let the preparations come between us and the higher importance of why we are welcoming people into our church buildings once again. I have heard from many people that they miss the routine of going into church. I can apply some sympathy to that and some understanding, as there is some very positive social aspects to gathering as a church family. But the reason we are aiming to open our church buildings again is so that we can share in the worship of God, is so we can listen and learn from God as a family in Christ. If we are only looking to do all the preparation that's necessary to let us open our church buildings again for the sake of routine, then we have forgotten the reason why we are serving God in the first place and need to find some perspective. Jesus helped Martha find the right perspective when he said, "Few things are needed, or indeed only one." Mary had chosen the good portion, which would not be taken away from her. When I look at this passage, I see Jesus saying all Martha's preparation was important and needed, just like all the safety preparations we will need to do are important and needed. But those preparations can't become the most important thing about our church buildings. We need to be there to share in God's grace and love and to give him praise. Throughout the pandemic, as we have not had the use of our church buildings, a fantastic job has been done of people continuing to share God's word through various technology, sharing in prayer, music, and listening to God's word. If we are so busy with other preparations as the weeks pass, and we do get back into the church buildings, that we don't have time to pray, to listen, to read God's word, or time to share our faith with others, then that means we are too busy with the preparations. Jesus gently took Martha to task as she prioritised the preparations over listening to him and learning, regardless of the preparations being needed. The preparations in churches are needed to prevent the spread of infection and to be safe, but let us be careful not to lose sight of why we are trying to make the buildings safe, so we may welcome all. Jesus loved both Martha and Mary for all their talents and priorities. Jesus cares for you and for me, and he will take care of us all. As we go forward, let us learn from Martha and Mary as we implement all we need in our church buildings and not lose sight of what we have achieved outside our church buildings in these last few months. We can ask ourselves, does it need doing? In the case of the safety preparations, yes, they do need doing. But we also need to ask ourselves, are we making it too much of a hassle and stress and losing sight of why we really want to take time to carry out those preparations? If the answer to that is also yes, we need to learn from Jesus' lesson to Martha and be reminded to be more like Mary, to sit at his feet and listen and learn. Amen. Our next hymn is from CH4 458, At the Name of Jesus. We'll be singing verses 1 3 and 4.
At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now. 'Tis the Father's pleasure we should call him Lord, who from the beginning was the mighty Word. In your hearts enthrone him, there let him subdue that is not holy, or that is not true. Let his grace support you in temptation's hour, and his will enfold you in its light and power. In his Father's glory, Christ shall come again, angel hosts proclaiming his return to of empire meet upon his brow, and our hearts confess him King of glory now.
Our prayer of intercession today will be led by Susan Anderson. Let us pray.
Today for the prayer, I thought it would be nice, because we're all apart and we can't worship together, that I came and I did the prayer here in the beautiful surroundings of our church. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I come before you today and thank you for the privilege of praying for others. I have been the recipient of others' prayers so often. I understand how powerful prayer can be. I thank you that through your name I can come boldly before you and pray with confidence according to your will and know that you hear me. I pray for those who feel forgotten and unseen. May they know they are remembered and seen by you, God. Search our hearts to reveal those we hide our faces from, the outcast, the stranger, or the homeless. Change our hearts that we may turn our faces towards these people and see them as your beloved children. You taught us to love our neighbour and care for those in need as if we were caring for you. In this time of anxiety, give us strength to comfort the fearful, to tend the sick, and to reassure the isolated of our love and your love. We pray for those we know who struggle with mental illnesses, anxiety and depression. Help us be a friend and a listening ear to those who suffer. Fill us with compassion and wisdom. Grant skill, sympathy and resilience to all who are caring for the sick in the NHS and the care sector, and your wisdom to those searching for a cure. Strengthen them with your spirit that through their work many will be restored to health. We pray for our governments, both in Edinburgh and in London, and our medical experts, that they take appropriate steps for the good of the people. We pray for those who have passed on during the pandemic, for families and friends left behind. In this time, we cannot be with our loved ones before or after their passing. I pray that no one has felt alone in their final hours, that you have been with them, and that you are with their family and friends who are unable to say their final goodbye. As we are moving through the recovery phases of coronavirus, help us heal. Heal those who are sick. Heal us from fear, which prevents us helping one another. Help us find a way to move forward in our new normal, to continue to enjoy life at a slower pace, and continue to find awe in new freedoms with you at our side. May those who have died from the virus rest in peace and rise in glory. I lift up those in my family, my neighbours, in my village and in my church. Deepen their love for you and for the people around them. May your love for you May our love for you help us to love and forgive others and make a difference in our world. We thank you for the ministry we have enjoyed with Ati and continue to pray for him in Edinburgh. We ask now that you will help us share responsibility, grow in faith, love one another, care for those in need, reach out to others and welcome newcomers. Lord, grant and grow our church as we serve you together in this period without a minister. Please guide those who are seeking the right person for us and those that are seeking the right church for their ministry, that together we may discover your way for the future and see your kingdom grow. Amen.
We close this time of worship singing from Mission Praise 167, Give Me Oil in My Lamp. We'll be singing verses 1, 2 and 4 with the choruses.
Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Make me a fisher of men, keep me seeking. Make me a fisher of men, I pray. Make me a fisher of men, keep me seeking. Keep me seeking till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me love in my heart, keep me serving. Give me love in my heart, I pray. Give me love in my heart, keep me serving. Keep me serving till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King.
And now, as we go our separate ways in Christ, let us be reminded today of all the wonderful gifts, talents and skills God has blessed us with, and be encouraged to share these as often as we can with all whom we can. Let us be reminded of our preparations that we need to do that are important, but also be mindful of our priorities and where our focus should be. And the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and in all our days to come.